I appreciate what Brother John had to say right there, because it's exactly right on the truth of the matter. And so many things came to my mind while he was talking. It kind of distracted me what my Sunday school is. But excellent lesson. And as someone said, this is God's love letter to us. The Word of God is. And if you have a question about what's being said, you know what? Go to the person that wrote the letter. And that's the best way to find out. So you ever have a problem with the Word, which I still struggle. There are a lot of things I don't understand. But I just ask Him, God, if You'd be pleased to show me what You mean, because You gave this to us and You know it better than anybody. So I encourage you to do that. 1 Peter chapter 3 will be my lesson for today. Brother Cecil called yesterday and he said he wanted to make sure I didn't get rusty. And so he asked me to take the Sunday school. And so I believe I have something I can share with you. And though this be an adult class and you guys been married for a long, long time and all that, it's always good to be reminded of some things. And you all will already know these things because you have been married for a long, long time. Because if you don't do these things, you probably won't be married very long. But what a joy it is still to look into Scripture and to be taught. And then if we do know them, we can share them with other people. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 is my text. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I'm going to look at this verse. And I want to take this occasion to talk about the marital relationship. And I know the verse addresses to husbands, and so many of the points will be just from that angle. But wives, that doesn't mean, oh, I can check out for a little while, I can catch me a little quick nap or anything. There'll be many things that we'll be talking about, and it will involve every one of us. And what a blessing it is to look into the Word. And so may I encourage you, ladies, even though it said, ye husbands, stick right there with us. We'll be talking about lots of things that apply to you. And you even get an opportunity maybe to do one of these. And so you ever see that, Brother Wayne?
Yeah.
You say something and the wife's making sure, hey, you getting this, husband? So anyway, that and the husband does that sometimes too. So I want to talk to you about marital relationships for the few minutes that we have. Let's pray again. God in heaven, thank You. And we pray that You bless this portion of Your Word as we look at it today. And Lord, just to speak to our hearts and help us to be the kind of husbands and wives we need to be. And we know that if we will go by the instruction found in Your Word, that we will be, and we'll be honoring to You, and You'll be pleased to bless us. And Father, we just thank You for all that You've done, all that You will do. And thank You for our spouses and our homes and all the many blessings You share upon us. We're certainly not worthy, but You're so good to us, and we give You the honor and the glory. And so help us as we look into these things today. And if we need reminded, then Lord, may we take it to heart and change. And if it's just a simple, hey, I already know that, it's still a good thing to keep in mind, so lest we would forget it, so that we might be the kind of spouses we need to be. So bless our homes and bless our families. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we want to look into this verse, and I've broken it down into really some phrases as we see just going through the text. The first point is I entitled Live and Learn. Simply that, live and learn. Because he says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Live and learn. The word dwell there means exactly that. It means to dwell with. It is to cohabitate with. It is to live with. Therefore, my title, live. And when you see knowledge there, learn. Live and learn. And I know this seems like what I'm about to say seems very, like, who doesn't know that? But it seems like there's a lot of people in our society that doesn't know it. And I just would remind each of us that the husband and wife need to live together. You say, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm not talking about a guy that has to go away and he's in Iraq war and he's gone. I'm not talking about if a person has a job and they're separated for a while, you have to work for a couple weeks or 6 months. I mean, those things happen. That's just part of life. And the reason I say they have to live together is because my sister was married to this guy who had made a profession of faith, but as it turns out, it really wasn't much of a profession, or that's all it was a profession. And she moved to Kansas City, And he moved to Kansas City, and it wasn't very long after that that he moved back to Ohio. And they were married for at least 6 or 7 years before they were finally divorced. And so here's a husband and a wife, completely separated by all those miles, who really is not establishing a home, is not, I mean, he would send money to help out, but they didn't live together. And I know that seems kind of unusual, but sometimes people try to do these long distance things just because they don't want to live together. That's kind of crazy, but we see that some of that in our society. My sister did that for about 6 or 7 years, and finally they were divorced. But we see that we are to live together. 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he reminded as he talked about just the sexual relationship, that the husband is to give due benevolence to the wife, and the wife is to give due benevolence to the husband. But you know, even if you live in the same household, you may not necessarily be living together. You know, there are some people that do that. They go their separate ways, they live their separate lives, but they're in the same house. But they live completely distinct lives, and they don't interact. It's just like two people just sharing a room. I don't think that's what the Scripture teaches. Scripture teaches that we are to dwell with our spouses. And so husbands, we are to dwell with our wives. And so I know that seems kind of odd to bring up a point of living together, but I think that it needs to be mentioned. But notice, as you think about these things, if we're going to dwell with our wives, that I want to remind the husbands that that's not your domain. But ladies, it's not your domain either. It's really a partnership. We're to dwell with our wives according to knowledge, and to dwell with them. Some people get the idea. They say, this is my castle, and I'm the king. And I heard many years ago, if you're the king, then she's the queen. So don't treat her as a servant. Don't treat her as a slave. If you're the king, she's the queen. Treat her as a queen. But the castle's not yours. Now, I know the wife is to take care of the home and all that. But you know, ladies, it's still not just yours. You live together, you dwell together, and so it's a partnership, and you want to work it as a partnership. Back in Genesis chapter 2, where it says that the man and the woman, the man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. And so, you know what it is? That word cleave there means to cleave fast together, to be joined together. So really, marriage is a partnership. Years ago, I worked in a machine shop, and this lady, she was getting married in my department where I worked. And I was talking to her one day about her upcoming nuptials and just seeing how things were going. And we were discussing marriage, and she said that she thought marriage was a 50-50 proposition. And, you know, I don't like that statement. I know that's a sharing, but I'd rather, and I told her, I said, you know, I don't see it as a 50-50. I think it's 100-100. You give 100%, he gives 100%, and you know what will make a difference? If you just have your 50, and you do your half, and then he does his half, you miss out on a whole lot. So we need to dwell together. It's a partnership, and we want to work it together. I also want to submit unto you, as we see that husbands are to dwell with them according to knowledge, that the marital life is a commitment. We see that in our society. You know why people live together? Because they don't want to commit. They act like husband and wife. They do everything as husband and wife, supposedly, but they're not married. And if they make the vow, they make the promise, there's a commitment. And a lot of people are afraid of that commitment. But dwelling with your spouse is a commitment. And so marriage really is a commitment and a cleaving together. And we are husband and wife. And so that's the way God intended. And God knows what he was doing when he made that institution of marriage. And so we see that we are to dwell together, dwell with them according to knowledge. So live and learn according to knowledge. I would submit unto you that this means to have an awareness of, to have an understanding with, or an understanding of, perhaps to be in tune with. You ever turn on the radio and you're just quite not on the radio station, and it kind of fuzzes in and out and all that, and you don't get it? And you can tune it in. You get it right on the mark. As a husband, I need to dwell with my wife. I need to, with knowledge. I need to tune in to her. But wives, you need to tune in to your husbands as well. Some commentators have suggested that this isn't that living with your wife or dwelling with them according to knowledge was from the perspective of the knowledge is regarding Christian concept and Christian principle, and so dwell with them from a Christian viewpoint. That's a good thing. I like that. But I really don't think that's what Peter was saying here, because I believe that a man does have to dwell with his wife according to knowledge. You have to have some understanding. Ladies, how many times have you thought, he just doesn't understand me? He's just not getting what I'm telling him. And well, the truth of the matter is, why is it that we should dwell with our wives according to knowledge, and why should wives dwell with their husband and have some understanding there? Simply is because, and we know this to be true, you've been married for many, many years, men and women are physically different. We already know that. There's a difference between men and women. So we need to understand there's a physical difference between men and women. We know that. But also, more importantly than that, is that men and women are just wired differently. God made man different than he made a woman. There's no unisex. You know, I mean, you know, we're not the same. A lady is going to think differently. Men, if you haven't picked that up by now, you've troubled yourself for many, many years. Because a woman just is not going to think the way you do. But ladies, you have to remember, we don't think like you do. We just don't do it. We're wired differently. Our emotions are different. Our needs are different. Our perceptions are different. Our psychological makeup is different. I mean, the way God wired our brains and our emotions and all that we are, we're just different between a man and a woman. That's just the way God made us. And you say, well, we've lived together, we're almost identical. I know God can complete his thoughts and she can complete mine and so forth. I'm not talking about that. We can get an understanding and an awareness. But the truth is, we're still different. Take, for instance, when we look at pictures, when I look at pictures, you know, generally this is what a man will do. Not everybody, of course, but when I look at pictures, if I have a stack of pictures, zip, zip, zip. I get the picture, I see what's there, I move on. I could go through a stack of pictures in no time. And it's not that I'm not interested, that's just the way I do, that's the way I'm wired. When I look at a picture, I don't study it, but I guarantee you, you hand that same stack to my wife, she'll examine everything in that picture. And she'll take an hour to go through the same pictures I went through in about a minute. Because I'm just, oh yeah, that's nice. Brother Orville took me to his house and showed me those pictures. I went through that the trip that you had out there to Oregon and all that, and you know, there were 335 pictures. I was click, 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 and then I'd see one of the Pacific Ocean that really looked good, and I'd stop there for just a few seconds and pondered the picture and said, that's a nice picture. Click, 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 click. But that's difference, isn't it? You know, if somebody calls the church and says, hey, we've had a baby, great. What'd you have? Oh, I had a boy, you know. Oh, well, congratulations. What's the name, you know? And I'll get off the phone and my wife will say, well, what happened? I said, well, they had a boy. How long was it? I don't know. How much did it weigh? Beats me. Well, I don't care about that kind of thing. I don't care how big that baby is. Isn't that a way? I mean, a man and a woman is different. If you haven't seen that by now, you just haven't been paying attention. But we're wired differently. So we need to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. And that means we need to listen to each other. We need to invest time in each other. We need to discover. And you'll be doing that all your life. I'm still learning things about my wife. She's still learning things about me. And we think differently. We respond differently. I know a lot about her. She knows a lot about me. But you know, that being said, wives, don't expect your husbands to be like you. And husbands, don't expect your wives to be like you. Because you're wired differently. You have a different physical makeup. Everything. I mean, you're just different people. That doesn't mean you can't get along. Y'all have gotten along for years. But the point is, you can't expect them to be like you because you're different. That's the way God made us. So live with them according to knowledge. You better have that understanding or you'll have trouble in your marriage. So live with them according to knowledge. Second phase, it says, and I entitled this phrase, praise and preserve, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Giving honor. And of course, that word giving means exactly what you think it means. It means to portion off. It is to assign or bestow. So a husband is to give honor to his wife. And not just once. This is a participle, which means it's a continuous action. Continually giving. By the way, dwell was in a participle, which means it's a continuous thing. Continually dwell with your spouse. Continually give honor. Don't say, well, you know, we first got married and the first, you know, year I gave honor to her, but that was enough. That isn't enough. You need to keep giving honor all the time. Keep giving honor to your wife. Now, that's what the Scripture teaches us. Give honor to the wife. And the word honor means, the word actually means that something which is an estimate of value. If you go down and have something appraised, you're getting the value of that. That's what that word means. And so it's the we think of it as the preciousness of it, the honor of it, the dignity that's bestowed upon it. So you know what it is to honor your wife. Do you defend her? You should. And I'll defend my wife. And I bestow honor upon her. But does that mean respect and dignity? Absolutely. Some of the things I see in our modern society is a lack of respect, a lack of dignity toward the spouse. And but that's honor. We want to bestow honor. So if you're not honoring your wife, then you're not respecting her. You're not showing her the dignity. If you do treat her like a slave, you know, hey, woman, I've snapped my fingers and I want that beverage right now, you know. Yeah, you can't treat your spouse like a slave. John Gill said, in this matter of giving honor to your wife, it's by speaking well of her and respectfully to her, and by deeds as well as words. That's giving honor to the spouse. Barnes said, everywhere among the heathen and under all false systems of religion, woman has been regarded as worthy of little honor or respect. And isn't that true through history and in other religions? She has been considered as a slave or as a mere instrument to gratify the passions of man. It is one of the elementary doctrines of Christianity, however, that woman is to be treated with respect. And one of the first and most marked effects of religion on society is to elevate the wife to a condition in which she will be worthy of esteem. And I think that's true. I do think that's true. And I think Christianity makes a difference, and the woman is actually elevated. And I know that when the Southern Baptists came out with a statement of, you know, the wives are being submissive to their husbands, and some of the women got really up in arms of that, and we were offended at that. But really, truly, if you go by the Scripture, you know what? The woman will have the dignity and the respect and all that that she deserves. And a man is to dwell with his wife and give her praise. Let's look at a few verse references, because I want to remind you, men, that your wife is of high price. She's of great value, and the Bible tells us so. So back in Proverbs chapter 18, and if I get down and look like I'm running out of time, I'll just hit the points for you. But Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22 reminds us, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. That tells me my wife is of a high price and value to me. Because if I find her, if God gives her to me, then he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. It's a good thing. Go to chapter 31, book of Proverbs. Chapter 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? You know, a good woman is worth everything. Really, truly. And so, men, if you have a good wife, then you need to understand she's of great value. Boys, this is worth a lot. This is more precious than rubies. But ladies, I want to remind you that you yourself can increase your own value. You say, well, I'm worth a lot. But you can increase that value. Look in chapter 31 where you're at. Look at verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You want to increase your value? Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Now, it says beauty is vain, but as they used to say in Clarksville, if the barn needs painted, paint it. You know, I think they used to say that all the time. You know, there's nothing wrong with that if you want to do some of that. But the point is don't focus on just, oh, I look this way, and you don't fear God. You know what? You devalued yourself. And so you want to give, if you want to receive honor, then you do what you need to do. And you know what? God will bring honor to you. I do believe that. And that doesn't mean ignore your appearance and your hygiene and things like that. But certainly it is that you can increase your honor. As a matter of fact, if you go back to our text in 1 Peter chapter 3, the first part of the chapter dealt with that. Gave some information on how a woman can increase her value. And we just noticed in that verse out of Proverbs that she needs to fear the Lord. And that really is the best trait you can find in a woman. And women, that's the same thing for men, just fearing the Lord. But how can you do this? Verse 1, by being submissive. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that you that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. By being submissive to your husband in the ways of God and with the mind of Christ, you increase your value. Even if you're a Christian couple and you're always out of submission, you know what you do? You devalue yourself. If you do right, God will bless you. Secondly, you'll see in verse 2, be pure and modest in your conduct while they behold your chaste conversation with coupled with fear. Being pure, being modest, that gives you value. Doesn't devalue, it values you. And so be submissive, be modest. Then verse 3, verse 4, I think, talks about an inner beauty. Whose adorning, let it not be that of the outward adorning of the plaiting of hair, the wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be of the hidden man of the heart. And so he's not saying you can't dress, you can't fix up your hair, you can't do any of that. He's not saying you can't do that, but don't make that your priority. Well, if I look this way, and I paint myself up this way, and I use this and that, and you ignore your heart, you might be beautiful outwardly, but inwardly you're dirty and nasty, and you devalue yourself. And the husband will see that, and he's not going to like that very well. And he's not going to give you the honor you deserve because you devalue yourself. And so have that inner beauty. And then verse 4, the latter part of that verse where we stopped off, he said, let it be of the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. And so I would submit unto you, you can increase your value by being gentle, kind, mild, having a quiet and a peaceful spirit. Well, that's what I read anyway, and I believe that to be true. If you're all the time fussing and nagging, then do you know what will happen? You're going to devalue yourself. You really will. You say, well, you're just not doing everything you ought to do. Well, that might be, but you have to come up with a different way than just being always on them, you know. It's a partnership. You have to work together. And so you want your value to increase, not to decrease. So keep the investment up. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. And if I get through this, I'll be really surprised. So I'll just go quickly here. Ephesians chapter 5. Men, we want to value our wives. We need to live with them according to knowledge. We want to praise and preserve. And praise her. As you treat yourself, you should treat your wife. And that's what we simply read, Ephesians 5:28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. And very simply, the scripture says that man does not deny his own body. We nourish it. That word means to promote health. We feed it, we take care of it, so forth, and we cherish it. And that word actually means to impart warmth. It is to nurse. And so you think of how tender that is. So as a man takes care of his own self and we nourish and cherish our own bodies, we have to do that to our wives. Again, if you're living together, dwelling together properly, you'll have that connection, you'll understand that. It won't be just an alien person over here that you can treat however you wish. This isn't your neighbor. And so you want to treat each other with proper respect and dignity and wives, this is true for you, treat your husbands as you would want to be treated, and husbands, treat your wives as you'd want to be treated, because that's the balance of Scripture there. And then go back to the text, 1 Peter chapter 3. You should take care of her because she is a weaker vessel. Now, that's what he says in the passage. He says, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. So give her praise, but yet preserve. She is a weaker vessel. Now, the word weak means exactly that. It's weak without strength. And the vessel means that. It's a utensil for containing anything. And, of course, in response to a person, we know that that's a vessel. This is where we live. This is our body, so forth. So now the common application is, and this is where a lot of people get offended, the women in our society, is that, and the men think that, well, then women are totally inferior and frail and just have no ability whatsoever. Doesn't that offend you, women, when your husband thinks you're just dumb? You know, Well, you just don't know anything, woman. You know, you're the weaker vessel. That's just an entirely wrong approach. I've known a whole lot more women that were more brilliant in their intelligence and capacity than I've known men. And so he's not really talking about that kind of thing. But there is a weakness. There is a difference between us. There's a difference physically. But listen again by this commentator. He said this, by this, is it is not necessarily meant that she is of feebler capacity or inferior endowments, but that she is more tender and delicate, more subject to infirmities and weaknesses, less capable of enduring fatigue and toil, less adapted to the rough and stormy scenes of life. And generally, that's true. Now, I know you might get that one woman that's out there, she's on the front lines, and she's tougher than any man out there on the war front. You get that sometimes, and you get these firefighting women, you know, and they're, you know, muscle builders and all that. You get some of that sometime, but the truth is, still emotionally, they're different. Because, you know what, people are different. And God made a man and woman different. And God said that the woman is the weaker vessel. That shouldn't offend you, ladies. You should just remember that's who I am. And if the husband remembers that, he's going to give you more honor. It's the point. Give honor to him, to them as the weaker vessel. John Gill said this is the wife is to be used gently and tenderly and not to be treated with neglect and contempt or with inhumanity and severity. So, you want to treat her as a weaker vessel. I think of it this way. What about frail or dainty? Take a Ming vase. You just toss that thing around? I mean, if you had a, you know, 3,000-year-old Ming vase, or if they are that old, I'm not sure when the Ming Dynasty was, so I might be making a big mistake there. But if you have something dainty and fragile like that, you just don't toss it around. You handle it very carefully. You have some glassware in your house. You're very careful. You move it, dust under it, you put it back, and you're just so careful. That's the way a man ought to treat a wife, because she's dainty, she's fragile. How precious is that? Great value. You don't want to break it. And so a man needs to treat her properly. Well, I need to move along here. I only got about 2 minutes. So we'll also see partners in life. Notice the last part of the verse there after the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. The life that we have is by the grace of God. And the only reason we live and breathe and all that we have is because of God's grace. But the truth is, we're heirs together of the grace of life. As we become one and we've chosen to be joint heirs and we're glued together, then we're heirs together as we go through this life. And so that word heirs together means a fellow participant. And so it's not, you know, you trying to do one thing all the time and this, he's trying to do the other. You have different activities, different hobbies. Nothing wrong with that. But you understand that there can be a difference in there. So we're heirs together, partners in life. And what that means is we receive and we experience the general experience of life together. What happens to my wife happens to me. What happens to me happens to her. Because we're going through the heirs, we're together going through this life. And you know, so we basically share the same experience of life. And hopefully, and I believe it to be true for you all, but hopefully the husband and wife will share eternal life together. But not all the time are both spouses saved in a marriage. But we pray that that would be the case if that's not for you. The last thing, and I have to quickly touch on that, I have a minute. It says, and it's a matter of not just the partners in life, but effective requests. He says that your prayers be not hindered. You look at that entire verse, and he comes down to the end, and he says, you need to do this. If you don't do this, your prayers will be hindered. So that word hinder means exactly that. You know what that word means. And so the effect of our ignorance is a hindrance to prayer. So if I choose, I'm not going to dwell with my wife according to knowledge. I'm not going to give her honor as though under the weaker vessel. Do you know what that does? That affects my praying. But it doesn't only affect yours. Do you know, and you can't pick this up in the text, but it says that your prayers, that word your is in the plural, which means it's not just man, it's the woman's. And so if I don't treat my wife right and I don't dwell with her according to knowledge, if I don't give her honor, you know what that happens? What happens is it not only affects my prayers, but it affects hers. Did you ever stop to consider that? That your prayers be not hindered. Both persons' prayers are hindered. And so under this, it's assumed that both of them pray. But if I don't respond the way I should, then I will affect my relationship with my wife. And I'm going to hinder my prayers, and it's going to end up being a hindrance to her. And you know, haven't you found it to be true? If you mistreat your spouse, eventually that kind of comes around, they mistreat you. If you're sharp and harsh and have a mean tone, that usually will provoke that out of her, and generally that'll work that way. The good thing is that often when you have a harsh, mean tone, she's not in that disposition, and she can bypass it, and that's a good thing because then it's just gone. And so, well, time's up, but generally in conclusion, you have to love your wife, and wives, you need to submit. And so look into the Scripture, see what God has for you. Men know something about your wives. Wives know something about your husbands. Have some knowledge one toward another. Respond with wisdom because it says according to knowledge. Don't be ignorant. You don't want to put a premium on ignorance. And behave with grace and honor. And I believe that means giving honor one to another, as the Scripture said. And then, of course, seek the Lord's favor, and that's praying. And so we do need to pray. And so I encourage you to honor your wives and give grace unto them, dwell with them according to knowledge, and give them honor as deserving. And, you know, ask God to bless your marriage and bless your home and remove those little things that irritate each other. And what a joy we can have, because we're heirs together. We're going through this life together. Might as well go through with joy instead of heartache. So anyway, I'm done. Let's pray. God in heaven, we again give this to you. We thank you for that. Your word, teach us and instruct us. And Lord, we're so used to hearing these things that we have a propensity to set it aside. And even when we know these things to be true, we'll go along in our lives and we'll dismiss these principles. And then we suffer because of it. But Lord, thank you for your constant reminders and your nudgings and encouragements that these things will be brought to our attention, that we would be as we should be. And we can only do that by your grace and mercy. And so we commit it to you, and we ask you to bless our homes and bless us that we might be good husbands, bless our wives that they might be good wives, and that together we might serve you well and give you the honor and the glory in all that we say and all that we do. Bless our homes, bless our families, and save those that are lost in them. Bless in the service yet to follow, and be with those who may be traveling yet to be here today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks.